All our problems are temporary. All our fears are momentary. All our pressures are fragmentary, but all our blessings are extraordinary.
Welcome to the New Life Church Podcast, where we dive deep into the timeless truths of the Bible. My name is Jake, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be your host. In each of these episodes, we'll unpack the richness of the Scriptures, exploring how its teachings can bring new life and meaning to our everyday existence. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and uplifted as we navigate the profound wisdom of the Bible together. This is a place where faith meets daily life. This is New Life Church.
In the book of Luke, chapter 7 and verse 11. And so we this morning are guided in what we do by the teaching of the Word of God and the preaching and the proclamation of the truth of God's Word. Listen, the Word of God says, now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Notice that Jesus did not look upon the large crowd. He didn't even look upon the young man who was dead in a casket as he was being carried out. But the Bible says that he looked upon her, and he had compassion on her and said unto her, do not weep. Now that's an odd thing to say in a funeral procession. But he said, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. And then fear came on all of them, and they glorified God and said, a great prophet indeed is risen among us. Amen. A great prophet is risen among us, and God has visited his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My, they sure were not wrong. God had visited the people. You know what? I believe that God has visited us this morning. Let's praise him. Father, bless our hearts today with the reading of the word as those that traveled resurrection morning on the way to Emmaus, and their hearts burned as you spoke to them along the way. Lord, may you speak to our hearts today, and we will give you the praise. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I love it when Jesus shows up in a powerful way and interrupts our plans. And if we will follow the leading of his Spirit, the Lord will show up in powerful ways, and he will do great things. Amen. I would say that the people in this procession that we read about were probably a little shocked when Jesus showed up in the middle of a funeral procession. I don't know about you. I don't want to just be a part of a funeral procession. I like it when the Lord shows up, for in him is life, and life more abundantly. And you can only imagine the weeping, the grief that was going on and that all of these people were experiencing in their heart, particularly because the one that had died was so young. But then also because this mother was a widow, and secondly, this was her only son, and now she would be destitute. And do you know that dealing with grief It's one of the most difficult things a person goes through. As a chaplain, my whole experience throughout the course of the week is to deal with dozens and dozens and dozens of people, and many of them experiencing grief and difficult seasons and a hard experience. Sometimes we deal with situations, you and I, that are a dead-end street. For this woman, that journey and that procession that day was just a dead-end street with no hope but the grave. No hope but to lay that precious boy of hers. Wouldn't it be just so terrible to have to lay to rest your own child, and how difficult. But life is a very emotional thing. We go through a series of situations, and our energy we expend daily on trying to deal with and control and work with all of the emotions in our life. Many things. Someone had noted that there are different kinds of emotions we experience every day. Over 100 different emotions. Now you think about it, you can alphabetize them and begin to go through how many emotions. You know, we go through aggressive, amazed, amused, angry, annoyed. How many of you have been there? Agitated, anguished, anxious. You could go on, and all of these things oftentimes swirl around in our heart and in our mind and in our spirit, and they have an impact upon the way that we look at life, the way that we see situations, the way that we react to other people, the sentiments that we have. It sometimes has an effect on our own attitude about life in general and about things and about people. But I'm here to tell you, some of the biggest and most troubling problems in life are dealt with and controlled by how we deal with our emotions. Some of you may be experiencing some negative feelings. Some of you may be experiencing emotions in your heart that you can't even hardly enjoy this service. You've come to the house of God, but your heart and mind is far away. Your spirit has been affected by situations that you're struggling with, negative feelings that are overcoming, unexpected responses. And some of you may even be dealing with one of the most difficult of all, and that is grief. I want to stay on track. But that's one of the things that I do as a chaplain. There are 21 different spiritual pains that we try to help people with. Because I realize that a lot of pain is just not going to be helped with a pill or a shot. But many of the pains that people have are spiritual pains. And maybe alienation, maybe being separated from a loved one and having difficult times in relationships. But I don't know what it may be, but I know that grief is one of the hardest things that people experience. When you are grieving in your spirit, that anguish of grief, it's so overwhelming, especially when it involves the death of a loved one. I'm here to tell you that grief brings an overwhelming sense of loss, and you can't imagine the grief this mother was experiencing. She was no doubt more than moved to tears. She had that anguish of the soul. This mother was going through such a hard and difficult time. But then Jesus showed up. I'm telling you, the Lord showed up. And I know that this morning, that I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is here. Because this young man got his personal Easter resurrection. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, when I think about the resurrection, as one man said, because of the power of the resurrection and life, all our problems are temporary. All our fears are momentary. All our pressures are fragmentary. But all our blessings are extraordinary. Hallelujah. Because he lives. I'm excited this morning because Jesus, when he shows up, he changes the narrative. Spurgeon, I love Spurgeon. Many of you love this old preacher as well, once said about the cross and the resurrection. Contemplate man's noblest achievements, the intellectual, the physical, the touch of human imperfection, the incompleteness that mars and traces all. The great truth then stands out like a constellation, flaming in its own solitary orbit, that there never was but one man who could gaze with satisfaction upon his own work and with his expiring and last dying breath on the cross exclaim, "It is finished." Hallelujah. That man was the God-man, Jesus Christ. That man was the mediator, for there is one mediator between God and man. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the servant of the Father. Amen. He who came and on that eve of redemption with all the certainty of an actual atonement could thus breathe his intercessory petition to heaven. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. Praise the Lord. Jesus is risen. And because he is, we're free. Because he is, we've been delivered. Because when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Can you imagine the way that Mary and the disciples of our Lord felt sometime later after Jesus died and when he was buried 3 days in the grave? Can you imagine this morning? But the grief she must have been experiencing because of such a dark and impossible situation. Surely her heart was broken. Surely she was never going to be happy the way that she had been with Jesus by her side. She's experienced a blow that nothing could ever, ever heal. But the resurrection did. Glory to God. The Bible says in John 20, verse 11, the scripture says, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Maybe she was just overcome with grief. Maybe tears had filled her eyes that she could not comprehend or see that she was talking to angels. I've seen it happen time and time again in the house of God when people come and their problem seems overwhelming and their spirit is so burdened and their eyes are clouded with tears that they cannot see someone else has shown up in the service. They cannot comprehend that someone has drawn nigh unto them, and his name is Jesus. I believe Jesus is here. I know he's here on the authority of God's holy word. For when we have gathered in his name, Jesus said, "I will be in their midst." We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to celebrate a season, but to glory in the resurrected Lord who's in this place and whom we serve. Praise the Lord. Jesus said to her, "Mary," thinking he was the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me, where have you laid him? And I will go to him." Jesus said, "Mary." And when Jesus shows up, things change, my friend. Jesus said, "Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended unto heaven, but go and tell my brethren that I send unto my Father, to my God and your God." Hebrews 9 and 26, he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. He provided our atonement and stood before the Father to make the intercessory petition that it is ringing to this very moment in heaven saying, "I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do." Yes, friend, Jesus stopped the procession. Jesus interrupted their service. And may he interrupt in a big way your grieving, your sorrow, the difficulties you've been experiencing and going through. This morning we're celebrating one who can take and touch every one of us, and our Easter caskets turn into Easter baskets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He touched the casket. He stopped the procession. He entered in on the situation, praise God. Now, you know, you can follow the world narrative if you want, and even some extra special, highly spiritual numbers among our groups say, oh, you shouldn't use the word Easter. We don't believe in Easter. Well, you'll just have to take Acts chapter 12 and verse 4 out of the Bible. Because the scripture said that when they proceeded to take Peter, and in the scriptures it says they incarcerated him and left him there until after Easter. Because the word Easter actually means the actual, right there in the King James Bible, Pascha. It's the same word that is used for the Passover or things to do with the Paschal Lamb. The things to do with the sacrifice and the day that is most holy among the Jewish people. The Pascha is translated in that verse as Easter. And you know why we're celebrating Easter? We're celebrating because Jesus become our Pascha. Our Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth until today, until the rest of the time, until time shall be no more. I'm going to be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even in our nation today, where some want to celebrate a life events and life situations that completely go contrary to the word of God, in which he calls an abomination. Some would celebrate that instead of having an egg roll or a basket. But let me tell you, I'm celebrating someone that can take an Easter casket and turn it into an Easter basket. Amen. I'm celebrating one who touched the casket and said, I say unto you, young man, arise. And he that was dead suddenly sat up and began. Oh, Jesus. I want to leave you with something here. By the way, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make a case for Easter baskets this morning. But I do know that Jesus can stop your procession and touch the hurt places in your life. And when Jesus touches our trouble, he brings it to life. When Jesus touches those hurtful places, he brings healing. Amen. Especially if you this morning think that life has led you down to a dead-end street, then I have a word for you. For this young man, the Lord, his touch led to life. And for you this morning, the resurrection leads to life with a purpose. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. When Jesus touches your life, all the resurrection brings purpose. It changes and refocuses the real reason that's worth living. Secondly, the resurrection, the life, is a life of partnership. You are not in this alone. But Jesus is with you. He that has come to be with you will never leave you nor forsake you. It becomes a partnership in which you can say, I can do all things through Christ who's here, who's now, which strengthens me. This morning, we have a divine Savior that's willing to work with our humanly free will in a holy cooperative if you choose Jesus. The Bible says we are workers together with Christ. Amen. And I want to say third, the resurrection. This life is a life that's productive. Jesus says, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you may go forth and bring forth fruit.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the New Life Church Podcast. We are truly grateful for each and every one of our listeners, so thank you. For a full transcription of today's sermon and more resources, head over to our website at newlifechurchspringfield.com. I can't wait to dive into the next episode with you. Until then, stay connected, stay inspired, and God bless. See you next time.